Coming to you from an underground bar in coastal South Alabama, I'm your host Roy.
And I'm your host Ben.
And these are sea stories from the Coast Watchers Club, where we chat with you about tiki culture and history, bars, drinks, music, and movies, anything related to Polynesian pop.
Aloha and welcome back to Sea Stories from the Coast Watchers Club. This week, we'd like to welcome our guest and friend, David Nelson, who's the owner of Braided River Brewing Company in downtown Mobile.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How's it going, David?
Great.
We're going to talk about his beer, Winter Crush, that him and Roy collaborated on about 3 years ago, and it's been a seasonal winter beer. Our cocktail of the week this week is From the Depths, which is a Roy original. So let's head on down to Roy's end of the bar and talk about the drink.
Hey, all right, cool. So you guys have the drink in front of you there. Everybody liking it?
Yeah, very good.
Love okay. What the ginger beer is doing in there. Beer.
Yeah. As before we get into the ingredients, as Ben mentioned, this is From the Depths, which is an original cocktail that I created. As far as I can tell, I went back and looked through our previous menus. It's a 2016 drink, so it's kind of old. Created it for what would have been our first tiki week at the new Haberdasher location after we were closed to move. And it was on the subsequent 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, I guess. That's the 2019 menu that you've got here behind us, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 4 years it was on the tiki week menu as kind of a staple right there at the top. It was always super popular, and we had a few people ask for it this year too because it wasn't on there. I picked this one for today because I wanted to do a cocktail that prominently featured allspice dram, and for reasons which will eventually become apparent later in the podcast. So just to run down the list, we've got Appleton Reserve, just the regular old Appleton rum. Kraken spiced rum, which is not something that I reach for terribly often, but I think if you're going to use a dark spiced rum in a tiki cocktail, Kraken definitely like checks the boxes where I want them to. It's way better than in my opinion, than Captain Morgan or whatnot. Allspice dram, there's a half an ounce of that, which is a little heavier than you see in a lot of drinks. So it's, like I said, it's very prominent. Pineapple juice, lime juice, and orgeat, and a good spicy, naturally made ginger beer. So we use Fentimans at the bar for this particular drink. It's not heavily carbonated, but it's got a real good spicy ginger profile. You know, a lot of ginger beers can almost edge on the ginger ale kind of spectrum. You know, way more sweet and less gingery. So that's it. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it.
It's a real good drink.
It's really great, and I can also see why you would choose this one for today. It's a real good compliment to the it's delicious.
We had a just an aside, we've got a former regular that used to get this drink, whether or not it was on the menu. And she could not get it through her head that it was called the From the Depths. She always called it In the Depths. And it was just one of those things. Oh, and she always asked for like double the orgeat, which turned into a totally different drink. Not in a good way. So, fun fact about this one.
Yeah, it's a great drink. I really like the ginger beer. You could tell the difference between it and just like a regular one. So like you see that high-end ginger beer.
Yeah, you kind of get that.
It makes a difference.
That little tingly burn in the back of your throat, you know. Not a spice burn, but
well, the ginger and allspice dram really are playing nice together on this.
Yeah. Too. They're very complimentary.
You still get that, but like you still get the, you know, using that dark rum, you still get a little bit of rum. Alcohol in the end.
For too, sure. So. Good. We got a whopping, 2 3/4 ounces of alcohol in this one. So,
Nice.
It'll do you right. So anyway, enough about this cocktail. Why don't we talk about Winter Crush a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
We do have the lead man in Mobile when it comes to beer.
So
the Crushmeister.
The Crushmeister, sure. So Winter Crush kind of came about, I don't know, out of thin air. We had when we opened the brewery, you know, it was in spring, summertime, when we were kind of getting stuff out, and we had this beer called Summer Crush. Been a mainstay for us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love it.
And so it had been intended to be a seasonal. We didn't really have another sour. It's a sour beer with passion fruit and sea salt. Super drinkable, bright summer beer. We didn't really have another seasonal sour to go with it. And we realized as the summer season was coming to an end, we needed something with, we needed another sour to fill the vibe. So we kind of looked at ideas and that kind of led us into a few of us had had some different like tiki inspired beers. One from Westbrook, I think, really stood out, stands out in my memory. Maybe a couple of others. And kind of we were thinking, well, this may be the right vibe that we're going for here because there's some spice here that makes it feel like some of that winter warmer kind of thing. But it's not the kind of spice that makes you think winter warmer beer. We were trying to stay away from holiday beer, you know, holiday spice beer.
Yeah.
And so after having a few of those, we were like, this might be the right thing to hit the right winter vibe and something that could complement, be a sister beer to Summer Crush.
Yeah, and also, like, I think you nailed that because it's often warm here in the wintertime, so you don't want something that tastes like pumpkin spice or apple pie all winter long, you know?
Right.
So it's got to be a little versatile for this climate.
You want a winter beer for our winter, right?
Exactly. Not the New England
winter. Which is, like, still hanging out on the beach. And
yeah, exactly. Could definitely be.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, so that all of that kind of went into like, well, this is where we think we should go with this. And then the next step was like, well, how do we make a tiki beer? What the hell is that? And where do we go? You know, what flavors are we looking for? Do we want in this kind of thing? So, obviously, we reached out to Roy and said, hey, you want to come talk with us about tiki drinks and how those flavors kind of work in the drinks? And maybe here, you know, here's the vibe and what we're going for with this beer. And here's some ideas we kind of have or some other beers we kind of like. And, you know, how do we get these things? And like, what spices? Like, if you try some different tiki beers out there, they all just say spices. And ours does too.
Shit. Some of them don't even say that. That's my problem with a lot of so-called tiki beers that are out there. Because previous to this, like, collaboration or Winter Crush iteration, I'd had a bunch of tiki beers. I brought some in for work. I'd sampled some. I bought some on my own. And a lot of times it's just that it's a fruited beer, a fruit sour. Yeah. You know, you can't just have guava or passion fruit in your beer and call it a tiki beer. I mean, that's
right.
or they use like pina colada, you know, and then call it a tiki beer.
Right. So, yeah, anyway.
No, I think that's exactly it. And I think, you know, like I said, the spices were key for what we were going for with this beer. And so then, you know, the first question was like, so what are tiki spices, Roy?
Yeah.
And then he's like, allspice tram. And, you know, we talked about that, tried some stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, that's exactly. And that's how, and that's exactly this cocktail we're drinking. You get that, you know, you can tell there's allspice in there, but it doesn't come off in like a holiday way in any form or fashion.
Yeah.
It adds some extra like depth and flavor to this and also counterbalances the sweetness in a way that. Right. Really like, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely remember pushing for allspice a lot harder than like cinnamon or nutmeg even, you know, because for that particular reason, like, I feel like after January 1st or whatever, people just get out of this vibe of cinnamony things and stuff like that, definitely. That happens at the bar. We have, just for instance, our winter mule, which is a very basic drink. It's we make a spiced cranberry sauce, and it's just a vodka Moscow mule with our homemade cranberry sauce in it. But man, as soon as January 2nd rolls around, the sales of that drink just tank, and it's like it's just a mental thing because I mean the weather's the same. There's literally nothing that's different.
It's actually
about it,
but just getting to be winter at that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe. So, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it still might be 75, 80 degrees.
Yeah. So yeah, I think allspice, and it's also a little less familiar to people. I thought as well. So I think you had mentioned that Westbrook Tiki Sour, which to me was the very first one that I think it's called It's Tiki Time.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first one to me. And I was like, these guys nailed it. This actually tastes like a tiki cocktail to me. And I think it's a pineapple sour or it's a fruit.
It might
sour.
Have a bunch of fruit. I think we tried to figure out what they had going on with it. Like,
oh, that's right. It says with spiced pineapple on the can.
Oh, yeah.
It's cinnamon for sure, but it's really good. That's still one of the best ones I've had for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a
great beer.
They still make it too. I think it was probably meant to be a one off, but they're still making it.
Yeah, I've had that one. And then one of my favorites is is Trim Tab. A couple of their tiki beers they have.
Oh, they have a new one every 3 weeks. Yeah.
Wasn't it I think it's like the Martin Denny experience.
Martin Denny Complex.
Complex, yeah. Yeah. Man, that one was amazing.
Great. Yeah. They're doing good stuff up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, the goal on some of these, and, you know, kind of harkens to the same whole concept of tiki culture and whatever. It's that escapism and like kind of vibe of feeling on vacation and whatever. And I think the other thing that kind of drew us in was like, we really have tried to make sure our beers have a certain drinkability and very, you know, especially in the Crush series, you want it to be something that's very crushable. And so it's nice to add like these sweet flavors and fruits and everything, but you got to have something to counterbalance that. Absolutely. You know, the sours, you have the acid, acidity kind of helping there, but the spices really add another layer there that helps with mm-hmm. that drinkability on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to have something that people want to have more than one of at a time. You know,
definitely.
I think a lot of sours they're kind of one and done for me because they're over the top with flavor, whatever that may be.
Right.
So, but no, the Crush series is definitely kind of pulls back, and I can have a few at a time.
Exactly,
and yeah. I do.
Yeah, or several if you're on the beach. I find I can do that for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then, you know, Ben, you brought it up earlier, like the Winter Crush is like, well, you know, our favorite time to go to the beach down here is October usually. You know, the tourists have cleared out, the weather's nice, the water's still a good temperature, and it's just like around that time. Like something like a, you know, tropical with a little spice, man, hits the spot on the beach.
Yeah, you may have to throw like a sweatshirt on or anything, but
exactly.
I kind of love those days at the beach. You know?
That's absolutely my favorite. I mean, I'm not a big fan of our summers here anyway. I hate the heat and the sun and humidity. So like, yeah, any chance I can get to go to a winter beach down here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different ballgame if you go to winter beach, you know, other places. Anyway, you guys want to try some Winter
Crush? Yeah, let's go ahead and pop some Winter Crush as well.
2022 Winter Crush.
So this is fresh.
This was canned last week or so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And so when are you having like any specific launch date or launch party?
So
anything like that?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to look at the calendar to make sure I got dates right here. But it depends.
Yeah.
So the Winter Crush, because it's kind of treated like one of our core beers, it's a seasonal because it rotates between Summer and Winter Crush. It kind of phases in through the month of September, and then it's officially in October.
Yeah.
So you might see it in some places a little early, sometime in September. And then I think we'll probably do something September 30th, like the last weekend of the month is probably when we will have it on at the brewery. So it's kind of and then the same thing on the other end in like March is kind of a fade in territory for Summer Crush. So they overlap a good bit, but yeah.
Yeah. And, before we get into like tasting notes and stuff like that, I think we did kind of gloss over like the actual development process of it.
Yeah.
All we talked about was the tiki aspect and not anything else. So let's get into that.
Yeah, sure thing. So, you know, we knew actually, let me take a drink of it now.
Yeah. Same. Oh, yeah.
So we had some certain fruity flavor profiles we were looking for. And then, like we said, we also wanted to make it tiki. So I think that was kind of like a, you know, discussions with you were like the spices. What are some common fruits that we're going to use in tiki drinks? And that's where, you know, in our Summer Crush has passion fruits. Well, we're going to stay away from that, kind of lean in some other directions. And then so we kind of went back and forth on... We added and did a bunch of testing. We brought in a bunch of fruit and dosed and tested. And then I think we made about 5 batches of this before we got to the batch we wanted it to be. And then we brewed another batch to kind of compensate for all the others and blended it all together.
That's right.
So that it hit like the target, you know, as far as amounts of this fruit and that and this spice. And then kind of went from there. But it kind of allowed us to really experiment with tweaking it. You know, pineapple, I think we knew we wanted to be in there all along.
Yeah.
Then we added some guava to give it just a little bit more tropical kick than the pineapple's going to do. Smooth the flavor a little, I don't know, and the fruit flavors a little bit. Then added some blood orange as well to try to give a little bit of that tartness and brightness you're going to get on that.
Mm-hmm. That's also technically a winter fruit.
Yeah.
You know,
it is true. Yeah, so it's on brand crop. There. Yeah. Yeah. And then we lime peel in the boil as well to help with the aromatics a little bit and mm-hmm. try to give it a little bit more of that zest. Kind of thinking of something like that. And I think we talked about it like, you know, something you might garnish with. Well, lime might not be necessarily in the drink, but if you get a little of that aroma of the lime, you know, as the garnish, that kind of adds to the whole experience.
Right.
So, and then then the spices as well. And I'm not leaving anything else out. Oh, and for this beer, we also use lactose in it. We're just trying to give it a little bit more smooth and creaminess body as far as the body of it. You know, it's not a huge portion of the beer or anything, but just trying to, you know, it is definitely the most complicated and all the most ingredients that kind of go into it, but they all kind of felt intentional. And that also kind of comes from the conversations with Roy about like, well, how do you craft, you know, a tiki cocktail? And you're looking for the same things. You're looking for balance. You're looking for some intense flavors. You're looking for some things that are going to complement each other or highlight each other.
And body.
And body, yeah, you know.
So, yeah, the lactose. Which, by the way, I forgot that there was lactose in it. And normally, I'm not a big fan of, like, lactose-dosed beers. Yeah, a lot of them, like, milkshake IPAs and
milkshake
sours. It's not for me, personally. But this is, like, it's just the right amount. It does have, like, a little bit of body to it.
Smoothness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, kind of, a different kind of smoothness on it. Yeah.
So, Summer Crush is more, like, effervescent,
right?
And like,
definitely,
you know, cleansing on the palate. And this is, more smooth and cocktail like without being like overly creamy or whatnot,
right? Right,
yeah.
And then what's also been interesting, and I think you know, you probably remember this from when we were trying different versions, it changes a lot, and especially in the early days, like even after it's done, you know, fermenting and packaged, and it would still kind of keep changing a little bit. And so it was hard to get a handle on, like, how much of this or that do we need to, you know, use? You know, is this version going to be the same that, is this the same thing that somebody's going to taste like a week from now in a bar or whatever?
Yeah.
So, and that's also kind of the fun with some of the beers is it ends up being, you know, it's a very alive, you know, the yeast that makes the beer is alive, and it's this whole like kind of continual process that's, that's very alive and malleable, and so there's kind of some fun in that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they say, you know, predictability is the toughest part of brewing? That's, you know.
Yeah. It's just like, to try to try to know exactly how it's going to work out, you got too many variables to control.
Yeah, for the most part, you're making a cocktail at a bar. You know, it's being served immediately. It's not going
to
evolve too much, aside from perhaps some dilution over time.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Which is a conscious decision sometimes, but other than that, it's we're not having to think about what's this going to taste like, you know, a week or a month from now.
Right. As long as you put in a fresh and high quality ingredients at the beginning, boom, you got it.
Exactly.
So, and as long as your bartenders aren't free pouring
or know how to free pour.
Yeah.
And then this one too, like, you know, you get different things from drinking it out of a glass versus drinking out of a can versus, you know, picking up on the different aromatics and whatever. It is definitely more, just like it's one of the more complicated ones to brew, it can be more complicated to drink. It's still very easy, and you can just kind of drink and not think about it. And it's like, oh, it's fruity and a little spicy and nice balance. And, you know, boom, boom, boom. But if you kind of, you know, you get in the nose, you get into the body, you know. And then, like, right now, I definitely am getting a lot of the pineapple.
Yeah.
There's some nice,
the guava,
nice
going with
that. Guava too.
Sticks out to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For those wondering at home, we're raw dogging these motherfuckers. We're drinking straight from the can.
Straight from the can.
Like trash.
Like the trash we are.
Yeah.
And then, this one, like right now, I feel like, and the temperature matters a lot too. Like right now, I feel like the spices are a little subdued on it. But when I had this the day we were packaging it, I was like, damn, we put in too much spice. Did we do the recipe right? So, you know, there's some fun with just part of the process.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get to some questions. Ask David, I wasn't sure. Like, so I was kind of iffy on sending you the question. I'm glad Roy did, because I was like, well, I'm not sure if like David's actually gone to tiki bars and stuff like that. So,
you call me Barbara Walters. I'm not afraid to ask.
Yeah, you ask the tough questions.
That's right.
So first off, we kind of, you know, what you kind of told us how you got interested in making Winter Crush and having the tiki ingredients. But like, do you have an interest in tiki otherwise? And how did you kind of grow that interest?
Well, I do now.
Because you're friends with me and Roy.
Well, yeah, dude. It's a slippery slope, man. Let me tell you. To give you a long answer and kill some airtime instead of the just very short to the point. You know, I've always been the craft beer guy, got into beer. When I'd travel, I would go to craft beer places or Europe, you know, to classic beer places. But I also, at some point, you know, as of evolving taste and whatever, got into rum a little bit, in Australia, and then visited some spots in the Caribbean. And, you know, maybe because I have a sweet tooth and maybe just because I hadn't been around that many liquors, but I really like barrel aged rum.
Oh yeah.
You know, and the flavors that I'm getting from that. And so that had kind of been some I'd keep around, some like Flor de Caña 7 or I don't know, Chairman's Reserve was, you know, one and from St. Lucia, a friend of mine had done work there. And
no kidding. I love Chairman's Reserve.
That and there, if you've ever had their Admiral Rodney that comes from there.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really good. So, you know, and then just randomly hitting some of these other ones up or some friends sharing some stuff from places they'd been or had picked up. And then just like those really like barrel-aged rums were just, that was my go-to. Like, I enjoy bourbon, but I've never gotten into it as much. And so, you know, it really, though, wasn't until moving to Mobile and the Habs Tiki Week was my first introduction to tiki culture. Like, I can't think of anything before, but yeah, like already kind of having a proclivity for rum and then also a little bit of a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, the tiki drinks are kind of my vibe, but what I really like, I may be skipping ahead here, but I really like that combination and something like, was it In the Depths? Is that
In the Depths?
you know, that combination of getting something kind of spicy and sweet together for that drinkability factor. Like, man, I really like that, you know, and you get that with a lot of tiki drinks. I think some of my favorites are like when, you know, I've had something, last year you did something with pineapple and a spicy pepper, maybe.
Oh yeah. That cause you texted me about it. It was, about a 2-person job. It was,
okay.
It was mezcal, fernet,
oh, yeah,
pineapple liqueur, pineapple juice, sambal honey, some honey syrup that we infused with sambal, the you know, chili paste.
Oh yeah,
and lime, and I think that might be it. It was a real simple
but
cocktail.
Like, I think the smoky mezcal with the pineapple sweetness, and then like the little bit of heat, like, you know.
That's actually what I almost brought today, but the sambal honey, we don't have that on hand because that drink's not on the menu anymore, and so ran out of time to do that. But it's an easy one. We could do it anytime.
But yeah, so to sound, you know, very like local and like I've never left Mobile, which I'm not even from, like, you know, yeah, it's definitely Tiki Week and like the Hab stuff that, you know, taught me about like, oh, this is the whole thing. And like, there's also some really cool stuff in here. But, you know, I just also had not journeyed very much down the cocktail path. I think, you know, being probably too obsessed with craft beer at some point, I was just like, yeah. One obsession.
Did you get to kind of go around in Tiki Week since we're kind of coming out of Tiki Week here? I guess it's a month, almost half, you know, 2 weeks now. Was there anything specifically you tried during that week that you enjoyed?
Yeah. So this last Tiki Week, and I'm terrible with the names. There was and two really good ones. One that had the coffee liqueur in it, or coffee.
Where?
At your place,
Archipelago, which happened to have your homering over here that happened to have Summer Crush in it.
Oh, well, I forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't.
Whoa, what? Okay.
All right,
I actually did forget about that. Here. Yeah. But I like that coffee bitterness, an extra little something to it. You know, I think there's just some things like that just like surprise and then, oh man, I'll go huge homer because I had to get the grog that Ben's created.
Oh yeah,
I had that.
Garage, I was about to call you out if you didn't say it.
That's one of the few. That's one of the few tiki things that if it counts. But I did know about grog on my cocktail journey.
Oh, okay.
Moving to Mobile, yeah. And I definitely enjoyed that. Like that's a good. You know, a grog's a. I don't know. Grog has a great place in the cocktail pantheon of
for sure.
Something kind of drinkable and really delicious. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm gonna kind of throw a different question out there, and this is kind of will help you, you know, be more towards beer and brewing. So, how did you get started in brewing?
In 2007, when I moved in with my then girlfriend, now wife, she was in graduate school. She was about to go do a whole semester in the field. She's an archaeologist. And I didn't have a job, and I was looking for jobs. And she was like, I knew something that'll keep you entertained. And she bought me a beer kit.
Spoiler alert, still doesn't have a job.
So she bought me a beer kit. And then, you know, things spiraled out of control after that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I did home brewing for a while. And this was when we were in Chapel Hill. Homebrewed for a while. Started volunteering at a local brewery up there. Turned that into another job, left my job as a chemist to go be a brewer, and then moved down here when she got a job at South as a professor. And cool.
That's awesome. Well, I can honestly say that we're glad that you opened and just a little backstory, like David and I played rugby together for how many, probably 4 or 5 years.
You know, you were one of the first people I actually met in Mobile.
I think you emailed me and were like, hey, you know, I'd like to play rugby.
I reached out through Facebook. I think after moving here, I think I had, you know, reached out through Facebook. You invited me to practice. And then right after practice, we go to the Hab.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, my friend owns this place. And he wants to put like a brewery upstairs here. You should talk to him.
Look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now.
Which we just had no D on the last episode. So
that's right.
it's a tight circle here on the podcast.
Yeah.
No shit.
We'll branch out someday.
It's an incredibly, you know, happenstance, though, that like I'd meet you through something like that. And not to turn this into a rugby podcast, but that's one of the cool things about rugby.
The
community and the connections you kind of bring through there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, this is a rugby. Is this not a rugby podcast?
Oh, man.
I mean, we can add like a rugby section. You know, I think that was originally I was going to do that. But
I'm shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, David. So is there anything upcoming that we need to know about or at Braided River?
Yeah, man. We've got a ton of beers being released in September, October. It was a great time to come by the tap room, check out what's coming out. A lot of fall themed beers, a lot of fun stuff we've kind of been doing. You know, the whole brew team experimenting with stuff. And then end of October, we've got our Kegtoberfest, where we do 18 different beers, like one-off kind of beer, specialty beers. And so that's October 30th, I believe, this Saturday. It's also Bama's off weekend, very strategically.
That's always good.
So you're not gonna have a conflict of plans.
If you're not going to a wedding,
yeah,
I'm gonna be out of town. So if you guys want to reconsider that date specifically for me,
there you go. At Kegtoberfest, we come up with a bunch of just one-off kegs using some of our current beers. Blend in different stuff. So one thing we'll have is the Tiki Crush, our Hannah's Summer Sling that we did during Tiki Week. We were actually one of the Tiki Week stops, which was super fun. We had that beer.
The Yacht Rock guy.
And the Yacht Rock. Oh, man, we had a great night with the Yacht Rock.
Captain Teddy?
Yeah, Captain Teddy.
Man, that was amazing.
He blew the house down. Like, it was great. So that week we had, it was a version of Summer Crush that we had added pineapple and cinnamon to. And that was also, another kind of like, hey, Roy, what's some good ideas for tiki drinks that we haven't explored with Winter Crush already? And, it's like, oh, cinnamon. Yes, that makes sense. And you kind of get that cinnamon pineapple thing works great. And then with the passion fruit and already going on with that beer, that was really delicious. So we're making another one of those, for this. And then we've got, you know, fruited IPAs, Got a lemon meringue pie beer and a coconut cream pie beer. A pancake breakfast stout, a s'more stout.
So how early are you opening for a pancake breakfast?
And I think, we'll post details later, but basically we'll have a couple of beer releases through the day because we got 18 different beers to get through. And then we'll have some bands and food trucks and stuff. So it's a real fun event we've done before. That just come out and try a bunch of new fun stuff that, we've all spent some time thinking on and, you want to get a little taste of before it's gone.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I had a blast last year at Kegtoberfest.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah, I think I was out of town last year, so now it's your turn.
Well, now you got to show up.
Yeah, I got to represent.
No, it was slammed until the Bama game kicked off.
Yeah, exactly.
Crickets.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
All right, so drinks are getting pretty low, so we're going to call that for this episode. First of all, we'd like to thank David. Appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks crossing for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Crossing the bay and come to this bar.
Excited to be able to hang out in the Tiki Room. It's a really cool spot you got here.
Yeah, man, appreciate it.
A lot of cool stuff
here. You're welcome anytime. You're always welcome to come back for the podcast. Absolutely. If you're launching a new Tiki beer or whatever.
Now, can I just come in and sit and watch the podcast being recorded sometime?
Yeah, anytime.
All right, cool.
We're hoping to add some more microphones so you can just sit in the corner and then chime in whenever you want to.
Nice. Cheers and jeers.
So additionally, we'd like to thank Spike and the Hula Girls for providing the music for the show today. Go listen to their music and watch Spike on his YouTube channel where he has Spike's Breezeway Cocktail Hour. It's a great show where he shows how to make a tiki cocktail each week and has great guests. Also, I'd like to thank Matt Faulkner, another rugby player that helps with the podcast. That's basically all we got. Well, he's with Nutria Rodeo. They have great artwork and different t-shirts on his website, so you can visit that at thenutriarodeo.com. And be sure to follow our podcast and leave a review so we can reach other listeners. Visit our website at coastwatchersclub.com, where we'll soon be posting some pictures. I write this down every week. Still haven't posted the blog yet. I'm gonna be working from a hotel room the rest of the week. Hopefully maybe I'll have some time to knock one of those out. But and so give us a like on Instagram at Coast Watchers Club. And if you're interested in sponsorship of the podcast, send us an email at info@coastwatchersclub.com. That's info@coastwatchersclub.com. Well, appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Aloha.
Mahalo, y'all.